Hello, friends and neighbors, Westbrook family. We are Palm Sunday 2020, still sheltering in place due to the COVID-19 pandemic affecting the world today. We are sheltering in place, but I believe that's where God would have us to be. I pray that you are learning something, that you are spending some time with God, that this isn't just a lost period of time, but one that you're utilizing. Of course, none of us want to see this thing continue and certainly not get worse. There are areas we are certainly concerned with, Northeast, the West Coast, and around Louisiana. I want us to certainly pray for those on the front lines, those medical professionals that are putting their lives on the line to deal with those who are directly affected by this. But I also want to give a call out to the Church of Jesus Christ. I want to remind everyone that on January the 4th of 2020, I sent out a text with a message that God had put in my heart that this year was yet to be determined. I inquired of the Lord saying, God, you know the end from the beginning. How is that possible that this year could be yet undetermined? I believe that the Church of Jesus Christ was going to be the single most important factor in what happened in the world today. You know, when you think about it, there's so much going on in the world today. I mean, literally, the pestilence that we see crossing continents now, the earthquakes, and this plague, this pandemic affecting the world. I do not believe that Christians should think this is just nothing. In fact, quite the contrary. We have never faced a moment like this. We don't know what is going to happen to our economy once we get past this. But we, on the other hand, don't want to wait until there are no more cases. We really need an answer. We really need a miracle. We really need God. Will you dare to believe with me for a miracle that could happen this Easter, next Sunday? Do you realize that Passover, the Feast of Passover, it begins the middle of this week, goes through the next week, those 7-8 days, depending on where you are in the world and what type of Jew you would celebrate, either 7 days or 8 days, but the Feast of Passover, Easter's right in the middle of it this year. Ladies and gentlemen, I know one thing, that if this thing suddenly stops, it will be unexplainable scientifically. It will be undeniable that it was stopped by the hand of God. And quietly, we can believe that it's because the Church of Jesus Christ rose up and became who they were intended to be on this earth today, covenant men and covenant women, loosing God to move. I loose you, Father, to move in this earth, in our nation. We loose you, Father, your power and your authority. We loose you and we say, heal our land. May revival fires be burning everywhere. And may the third great awakening come forth. And Father, may we awaken to the agenda of the enemy versus your agenda. And may we declare once and for all that we are for your agenda, O God. We are your people in this earth. And I give you praise and glory in Jesus' name. Amen. There is a teaching by Derek Prince. Derek Prince is someone that I highly respected while he lived on this earth. I continue to be blessed by his writings and his teachings. And there is one in particular entitled The Battle to Reign. And it's absolutely incredible. And it stirred me up. And I want to share with you a little bit about it this morning in the next few minutes. The essence of God's ultimate purpose in this age is very simple. It is to establish his kingdom on this earth. This, I call it a first priority. I'm going to identify it as a first priority. We say that it may say first priority. This first priority is exemplified in how Jesus taught us to pray. So please turn with me in your Bibles to the book of Matthew, chapter 6. The book of Matthew, chapter 6. I'm reading out of the New King James Version of the Bible. I'll give you a moment to get your Bible, open it, and find Matthew, chapter 6. We'll be starting in verse 5 and going through verse 13. This is going to be very familiar to you because it is, in my Bible, it's listed as the model prayer. Jesus taught us how to pray here. The model prayer, Matthew 6, verses 5 through 13. Let's read together. And when you pray, you shall not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the corners of the streets, that they may be seen by men. Assuredly, I say to you, they have their reward. But you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, does that sound familiar to you? When you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. I hope these themes sound familiar to you. I hope that that message last week, the secret of Psalm 91, really spoke to you. Let's read that again. Assuredly, I say to you that they have the reward, verse 6, but you, when you pray, go into your room, and when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. And when you pray, do not use vain repetitions as the heathen do, for they think they will be heard for their many words. Verse 8, therefore, do not be like them, for your Father knows the things you have need of before you ask him. In this manner, therefore, pray. And I want you to read this aloud with me. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. So we discover the preeminence of God's ultimate purpose in the Lord's Prayer, immediately following the declaration of praise to the Almighty's majesty. It reads out of the King James like this, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Most people pray this as a request made unto our Heavenly Father. But we say it like this, Come thy kingdom, be done thy will. I learned that from a dear, dear friend, Pastor Phil Adair. That little mental adjustment, that little shift in my thinking and ultimately my speech changes everything. It changed everything. Please notice that Jesus said, on earth. When we pray these words, we are aligning ourselves with what God wants to see accomplished on earth. It is God's first priority all throughout history. It has never changed. I know that the Bible talks about kings and priests, and many who hear this teaching, they question that and say, how could I ever be a priest or a king? Well, in the establishment of his kingdom, it is important for us to understand the role we play in response to God's calling and purpose for our lives. I wonder if we actually realize God's calling and purpose for our lives. Do we? In Revelation chapter 5, verses 9 and 10, John writes about the followers of the Lamb. I want to read it to you. "And they sang a new song, saying, 'You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth.'" Where are you in this verse? It is almost impossible for us to imagine ourselves as kings and priests sharing Christ's throne and reigning on earth. Even so, I believe the Holy Spirit is establishing an ever-increasing emphasis on preparing us now for what lies ahead. And the authority and responsibility the church has on this earth now. Do you get that? We need to seriously consider what this calling to reign means to us. What does it mean to us personally? What does it mean to us corporately? How it directly impacts our lives and the world around us right now in 2020. How do you and I prepare as Christians to step into this place of incredible privilege and responsibility? I want to ask you something. Do you believe that we are totally powerless to do anything about a pandemic that is ravaging the world right now? I pray that it's a very sobering thing to ask, what role do I play to stop this thing right now, today? What part do I have to play? Well, I believe first the Father is strengthening our character. You see, it's not enough just to be born again. That experience alone will not bring us to the level of maturity we need to serve the Lord effectively in the 21st century church, in the 21st century world, in 2020. Let's look at some of the main requirements of this preparation process. Number one is endurance. Sharing in Christ's resurrection. We're going to be celebrating that this week, and ultimately next Sunday, Resurrection Sunday, we'll be celebrating his resurrection. Endurance needs to be something we understand that is something we need to lay hold of and apprehend. The sharing in Christ's resurrection and exaltation will also mean a willingness to share in his sufferings. That's not often taught today. It should be. Number two, meekness or humility. God offers his kingdom only to those who recognize what meekness is. I want to give you a definition of meekness. Meekness is simply power under authority. Jesus was said to have been meek, a meek man. And I think too often we look at that and we think that he was some milquetoast or someone so mild-mannered. No, he had power under authority. Jesus was not so meek that he was just humble all the time. He was meek in power under authority. And you can find in the teaching there on the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5, you can see what he says about the meek. But sadly, we are so rebellious. that we want the power, but don't ever want to understand the authority, that power under authority. That's meekness. Number three is purity. We are to purify ourselves to the one standard of purity. What is that standard? It's Jesus himself. 1 John 3:3 out of the New King James says, "And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." Jesus is pure. Our God is holy. Number four, we've got to have a love of truth. Our protection from being deceived. And I really believe that too many of us are anxious, confused, lost. We should not be deceived. Our protection from being deceived is being determined to live each and every day with a love of truth. Where is that truth found? It's found in the Word of God. Don't rely on someone to tell you what truth is. Find it for yourself. Find that rich vein of truth, which is the Word of God. And secondly, he's preparing us for spiritual combat. Our preparation for reigning with Christ will inevitably mean confrontation with, listen, get this, spiritual forces which are at enmity with God and his eternal purposes. Next Sunday morning on Easter, I will share about the most powerfully dangerous deceptive force which has gained such a stronghold in our modern world today, and we could even find it weaving its way through the church today in our modern culture, and it's humanism. Paul aptly describes our engagement in spiritual warfare this way, out of Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12, and I'm reading out of the Living Bible. "For we are not fighting against people made of flesh and blood, but against persons without bodies, the evil rulers of the unseen world, those mighty satanic beings and great evil princes of darkness who rule this world, and against huge numbers of wicked spirits in the spirit world." As followers of Jesus Christ, we find ourselves caught up in a conflict that spans both heaven and earth. The forces confronting us are, as we saw in the Living Bible, persons without bodies. Evil spiritual powers in the unseen realm that oppose all true righteousness and the authority of God. Their number one goal is to establish Satan's dominion over the whole world. And you must get that. Ladies and gentlemen, you must get that important, critical fact. Their number one goal is to establish Satan's dominion over the whole world. Now, I'm going to tell you something. The Church of Jesus Christ needs to get a hold of this fact, as not just on Easter. We should be celebrating Easter every Sunday of the year. Jesus won the authority that the first Adam gave away. He gave it to Satan, the keys to death, hell, and the grave. As he gave that authority, it was the last Adam, Jesus, the Son of Man, the Son of God, who came and he took back that authority. He paid with his blood. He went into hell itself and he won that authority back. What did he do with it? He gave it to the church. We must get that. Our responsibility in this conflict is unique. Why? Because Christ has committed to us and only to us the spiritual insight and weapons that can give us victory. We must understand this vital truth. The governments and the armies of this world, operating solely on the natural plane, have no understanding of the actual conflict. They have no power to deal with the satanic forces in the heavenlies. On the contrary, without realizing it, they themselves are manipulated and controlled by those forces. Do you see that? That's why we cited Isaiah 2:2 over the last several weeks. The faith which establishes the mountain of the Lord's house above the mountains and hills of this world. The faith which establishes the mountain of the Lord's house above the mountains and hills of this world. That's what God is doing. You see, God intends to use his church. Therefore, our prayer should be, must be filled with a sense of divine purpose. God, use me in this storm. This is Palm Sunday. We pause on this day to note a strange dichotomy. There was a huge crowd of people which was gathered outside of Jerusalem some 2,000 years ago when Jesus arrived on a borrowed donkey. Just like the prophets foretold, they saw Jesus as their deliverer from Roman oppression. Hosanna, they cried. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord, they cried. The flip side of our dichotomy is found in Scripture only a few days later, where we see a crowd standing before Pilate as he adjudicates Jesus to be an innocent man. Pilate offered them a murderer named Barabbas to be crucified instead. But no, they wanted Jesus crucified. Crucify him! Crucify him! They shouted. Now here is the question for us today. Was this the same crowd of people who only days earlier cried, Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Could this be the same crowd screaming, crucify him, crucify him? We will not know the answer until we get to heaven ourselves. Of course, knowing the fickle nature of mankind, it could be. The more appropriate question here today is, do you know what the Father's plan is for the world today? Do you know what the Father is doing in the world today? Do you know the role you are to play in the fulfillment of God's ultimate purpose today? Or are you like most of the people in the world, lost, confused, or worse, apathetic? I tell you, God is at work. See it. Acknowledge it. Embrace it. Don't get caught up in the crowd that not only fails to recognize what God is doing in the world, but allows themselves to be manipulated and used for Satan's purposes. The enemy wants to destroy this world and the people in it. God says, it's harvest time. Declare where you stand today. I leave you with something very, very powerful. It's entitled No Other King. And were we to meet in the sheep shed today, or if we had the capability of supplying you with video online, we would have used this, but I've transcribed it instead, and I want you to listen to what this great artist, Dan Stevers, I want you to listen to these words. No other king could vanquish the war horse or silence the warrior's rage while riding the back of a lowly donkey. No other king could break the dominion of darkness, the tyranny of evil, with a reign of grace and a kingdom of peace. No other king could or would give his life for the redemption of rebels, his wealth to welcome the outcast. Jesus is that king, the King of glory, Son of the living God. Not just another king, not just another prophet, not just another teacher. He was the one the world had been waiting for, the one to deliver us from captivity, Son of David and Abraham's chosen seed. He is the goal of the Mosaic law, Yahweh in the flesh. He is the one to establish God's reign and rule, to heal the sick, give sight to the blind, freedom to the prisoners, and proclaim good news to the poor. This Jesus was the Creator come to the earth and the beginning of a new creation. He embodied the covenant, fulfilled the commandments, and reversed the curse. This Jesus is the Christ that God spoke of to the serpent, the one prefigured to Noah in the flood, the one promised to Abraham, the one guaranteed to Moses before he died, the one promised to David during his reign, the one revealed to Isaiah as the suffering servant, the one predicted through the prophets and prepared for through John the Baptist. He is the Father's Son, Savior of the world, substitute for our sins, more loving, more holy, and more wonderfully terrifying than we ever thought possible. He is our Jesus, and there is no other King like Him. He is our God, our glory, our victorious Savior. There is no other King like Him. There is no other King. Hallelujah. Isn't that powerful? I just want to say, it's unusual coming to you through this medium. It's unusual preaching a message like this without an audience. I pray that through the ability of the Holy Spirit, you are able to understand and receive. But one of the benefits of having this tool is you can go back over and over and listen and glean. Because if you go over these messages over and over, just like with what Pastor D brings over and over, I am so blessed by the powerful word. I mean, I'm going to call her the Myth Buster after that great sermon that she delivered this morning. I'm telling you, the fundamentals of our faith are so important, and she lays it out. It is so powerful, and goes through and breaks and busts those myths. God bless you, Pastor D. God bless you for your faithfulness, and God bless you that you are a great minister of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and you will boldly proclaim what He puts on your heart. We are all the better because of it. We love you and honor you in Jesus' name. I want to pray. I want you to join me in prayer right now. Heavenly Father, we have literally sat at your feet this morning. We've heard from you. We have been prodded by you, stirred by you. And we felt you put your arms around us and love on us and bring us a little closer. I am convinced that we have a dynamic role to play in this world at this time. My prayer is that we will rise to the occasion. We will be shaken from our slumber. We will realize you are confronting us when we fail to act. And also understanding that obedience is better than sacrifice. Use us, we pray. Use us. And Father, forgive us. Forgive us personally. Forgive us in our families. Forgive us in our homes. We don't honor you, worship you, praise you, give you preeminence as you should have the preeminence in our homes. Forgive us when we don't allow Christ to be center. Father, I believe that in times like these, we are turning ourselves. And we also pray for our nation. Forgive us, Lord, for the 60 million plus babies who have been murdered and their blood cries out. Forgive us, O Lord. As Americans, we have redefined what the first institution you ever established, the church, Lord, was not the first. It was the home. It was marriage between a man and a woman. Father, forgive us for poking you in the eye so often by the things that we do. Oh, Father, forgive us. Hear us. We turn to you in repentance. We turn away from all of these abominations and we ask you to forgive us and heal our land. Heal our land, Lord. Heal our land. Oh, Father, we declare that Jesus is Lord of the glory of God. We will not align ourselves with politicians who support godless living and these abominations. We will not stand for those who are taking us down a road of destruction. We will stand for those who turn to you. Honor our president for calling a national day of prayer. I know that the media have really beaten up on him for doing that. But Father, I honor him for calling a national day of prayer. Honor him and heal our land. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. I'm going to ask you, if you will now, take your communion. It may be a cracker or bread, and you may have grape juice or wine or something else. Take what you have and join us now as we celebrate. Shut behind our doors in our homes, not celebrating the blood of a lamb, but celebrating the blood of the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of this world. I want you to take your bread or your cracker, and I want you to hold it up, and I want you to realize that as we think of Palm Sunday and the jubilation of Jesus coming in, the prophesied Messiah, and those who recognized him as such, but there before the cross, he would sit with his disciples at this table, and he took the bread and he broke it on this Passover that had been celebrated for millennia. And he said, "This is my body broken for you. I want you to take and realize that this that we take represents the body of Jesus, the Lamb of God. His body was broken so that you and I could have healing, body, soul, and spirit. I want you to take it now in Jesus' name. Let's eat together." Then he took the cup and he said, "This is a cup of a new covenant filled with my blood. As you take the cup and you drink it, I want you to realize, as we sit behind our doors in our homes, and maybe we should really apply ourselves to what this season means, I want you to know there is power in the blood of Jesus. And we are going to apply that blood to our homes, to our families. I plead the blood of Jesus over you. Let us drink together. There's power in the blood of Jesus. Amen. I want to remind you, you're not able to give at this moment, but your tithes and offerings are still very much a part of your worship. This is a season where I know people are hurting themselves, but I tell you, do not fail to give your gift, your tithe to the Lord. Sow good seed into good ground, and you can mail it to our address, 225 Rockwell Church Road Northwest, Winder, Georgia, 30680. 225 Rockwell Church Road Northwest, Winder, Georgia, 30680. And God bless you as you do that. Now, finally, I want to remind you of those things, those that are so important. We talked about the first priority, that ultimate purpose in this age. It's very simple. It is to establish God's kingdom on this earth. I want you to continually say, come thy kingdom, be done thy will. When we're praying for Renee, I want you to continue to pray for healing. Pray for Danny. I'm telling you, Danny is a warrior of God. He's a warrior. God made him strong. He's fighting for his wife. But I'm going to tell you, as strong as Danny is, I'm telling you in the spirit, I see a Renee and she is his match. I'm telling you, he could not win in a spiritual battle with Renee. She is determined. She is determined for the healing to manifest in her body. Let us stand together with her. Come thy kingdom, be done thy will. In Jesus' name, may she be healed. We pray for Judge June and Miss Joyce and Barbara and my mother and Miss Glenda. We pray for others. Remember to continue to pray. And finally, will you join me in the benediction? We can't sing it together, but I can pray it over you. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this time that we've had together today. It's been so good to be able to slip into your presence, even though we're not together, shoulder to shoulder, seated beside other members of the local body, the local expression of the body of Christ, our brothers and our sisters. We're not able to be with them in that way today, but Father, we can slip into your presence, and I believe we've been in your presence today. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I establish a wall of fire and a hedge of protection around all of us in the name of Jesus. Father, forgive us if we have failed to recognize the serious nature of this plague that is moving across the world right now. Father, I believe that for too many of us, we have failed to recognize what it really is. Awaken us, Father. May we awaken to what it means, and may it drive us to our knees and even before our faces, on our faces before you. But I establish that wall of fire, that hedge of protection around us in the name of Jesus. Plead the blood of Jesus over all of us. And Father, not so many of us can go out into a mission field where people are hurting, crying, sighing, and dying. But Father, our prayers can. Father, may we be mindful of those we cannot interact with. But Father, as this passes, and it shall, may we come back together as the Church of Jesus Christ, worldwide, universal. May we be different. And may we shake this world and shape this world in the image that you see. May the first priority be your ultimate purpose in this age to establish your kingdom on this earth. We declare Jesus, your Lord, to the glory of God. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen, amen, and amen. God bless you richly this Holy Week. And we look forward to seeing you back here on the internet next week for Easter service, as we will not be meeting at the sheep shed. We love you. God bless you richly in Jesus' name. Amen.